Eye on Football Podcast, Friday morning, Thursday night, whatever you want. Will Britson here with Ryan Wilson after the 49ers have just manhandled the St. Louis Rams. That was a beating, an old school bloody knuckle kicking somebody in the face beating. Wouldn't you say, Ryan?
Roadhouse style. I don't know if you heard Mike Mayock make a Roadhouse reference.
Yeah.
Talking to Jim Harbaugh about, the tight end, McDonald, what's his face. But you know what?
Vance McDonald.
Yeah. Vance Bridges. Here's the thing. These Thursday night games
are awful.
This was like the most exciting of the bunch we've seen so far. Next week is Browns Bills.
I remember looking at the schedule and thinking, man, they did a really good job with the Thursday night games. How did Browns Bills creep in there? That was like and you know what's scary is that that's actually a much better game than it looked like at the beginning of the year.
I was going to say, someone knew that Brian Hoyer was going to be named the starter, so they penciled that one in so that to ratchet up the excitement. But anyway, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We have plenty of time to talk about that crap fest when it happens.
Yeah.
35-11, 49ers beat the Rams. It wasn't even that close. The Rams, listen, man, they were had them finishing second in the division, making a wild card berth. Yeah, no kidding. That team's a steaming pile of garbage.
All right, I'll tell you two things that you and I both wrote off this game. Because that's how we care. Because we care.
Yeah,
people.
We care. Care that much.
You pointed out that the return of the run game and defense is key. And I pointed out that Sam Bradford doesn't look like a franchise quarterback. Which one of those things – you laugh at that, huh? Which one of those things is more obvious and which one is more important?
Well, I think the return of the run game and hopefully the defense shores up.
You wrote.
Well, that's more important because the 49ers have a much better chance of going to the playoffs. The Rams have two first-round picks. Sam Bradford, I believe, has 2 years left on his deal, $27 million, I believe, according to Jason LaFleur, our buddy.
Yes, that's right.
But, I mean, is that guy going to be the starter next year?
Is he going to be a starter I guess they can't bench him mid-season.
I mean, they're going to bring him back is what I'm saying.
All right, you're right. Let's talk about the 49ers. But, I mean, I think you're right. And you did a classic scribe-like single-sentence opener for your piece. I liked it, actually. The 49ers are back, period.
And – made it his own paragraph.
In the draft, yeah. That was the paragraph. No, but it's accurate though, because look, when the 49ers in week two when they got throttled by the Seahawks, they were absolutely throttled. They were supposed to bounce back in week three against the Colts at home, a softer Colts team. They don't lose at home. Jim Harbaugh never lost two games in a row, and they got manhandled two straight weeks, and that, I think, really tilted the perception of what we understood about San Francisco. It was really disturbing to see them throwing the ball too much. Colin Kaepernick didn't look like himself. He's out there favoriting tweets. He's pissed off at people. I mean, he was, but I mean, like, people are asking about him. This is like the lead story on SportsCenter, right ahead of Joe Flacco and Ray Lewis and Jacoby Jones' stripper party. And
Sweet pea.
Wow, that's a house cat moment.
That's right.
For those old school enough to listen to us since the fan house days. Frank Gore getting out there and ripping off runs and running the power, pulling guard, stomping in your face runs, and letting Kaepernick make a few throws. He had two nice touchdown passes, I believe, right? One to Vernon Davis and one to Anquan Boldin.
Yes, sir.
Good outing for the 49ers. Joe Staley, by the way, is totally fine. No concern. Mike Silver of NFL.com just tweeted that he walked to the bus with Staley, and he's totally fine. So, huge news. I agree. The 49ers are back.
Yeah, here's the thing. In that Colts loss in week three, your boy Frank Gore had 11 rushes. On Thursday night against the Rams, he had 10 rushes for 107 yards in the first half.
That's right.
And he had four runs for over 18 yards in the first half, including a 34-yard touchdown run with like 30 seconds to go to go into halftime. And that makes things a lot easier for Colin Kaepernick and the defense. Keeps the defense off the field. They struggled in the last two games, so they played well against, I mean, an absolutely awful Rams offense. But the Rams can't stop the run, and they cannot run the ball. And that is a recipe for being a really, really bad team. What this means for the 49ers, well, they won a game. They're back to 2-2. I don't know if we can tell any much – you know, much more than that, because this Rams team is so bad. It's like beating the Steelers, big whoop. next week, the 49ers face the...
Hey, by the way, the Rams were taking knees, and they lost. They were taking knees.
Minute and a half to go in the game.
That is sad,
knees.
Man.
That is throwing up your hands and giving up, even for Jeff Fisher's mullet and mustache. But next week, the 49ers face the Texans. So maybe we'll know a little something more. The Texans have a tough game this week. We'll see, you know, get a better idea whether either one of these teams are legit in, week five at that point.
You know, the thing about the 49ers win, and is really disappointing about the Rams, and I side with you a little bit on we can't learn too much. I mean, the 49ers gave them some chances.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Frank Gore fumbled to open the second half.
That's exactly right, and they did nothing with it.
Literally, they scored 3 points in the first half. They had a 3-0 lead in the first quarter after Phil Dawson missed a field goal. St. Louis goes down to the other end. It looked like it was going to be like a 9-6 final.
Yeah.
And then, holy hell. I mean, it just got out of control. The final plays are, I mean, yeah, Sam Bradford kneeled out. I just wonder whether or not a better team would have taken advantage of those mistakes that the 49ers made. And certainly I think the Seahawks would have. Do you think? I mean, with the Cardinals?
Of course. Yeah, here's the thing.
Well, you know what I mean, though? The 49ers gave them openings. They fumbled the ball.
Exactly.
Colin Kaepernick did not look good coming out of the gate. After the first quarter.
No, he didn't.
It looked like we were going to be writing the same story about Colin Kaepernick. He finished 15-23 for a 167, 2 touchdowns. Not a ton of yardage, but good accuracy.
Yeah, no, that's right. And Mayock talked about this during the telecast. The offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, finally, for some, I don't know why I didn't do it last week, but said, look, let's roll you out, give you these half-field reads. You like throwing to your right, so run to your right, and we'll make it very simple on you. Kaepernick isn't a guy that's going to be going through his progressions. By the way, Anquan Boldin absolutely abusing Courtland Finnegan.
That was going to be my next point about the Rams. Is that?
Also, I love that Courtland Finnegan got a quote-unquote thigh injury.
Oh, my God, what a joke. I mean, I felt like a jerk because I wrote on Twitter and said it was, ha, 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 Courtland Finnegan, quote, thigh injury, end quote, ha, 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 right. I mean, because you feel bad if the guy's a thigh injury, but come on, man, that dude ain't hurt.
No, he got benched. You can call it whatever you want to call it. He was getting abused. And listen, man, that dude signed the same deal that Brandon Carr signed, like $5 million, $50 million and change.
Brandon Carr got like 50 cents more or something. Like that. Seriously, he got like 50
that's
cents
right.
more.
5 years, $50 million. And
Finnegan is getting $14 million in cash this year.
Oh, God almighty. Awful.
And they can't get rid of him. I mean, he sucks.
He does suck. Janoris Jenkins, meanwhile, is the real deal.
Yeah, but look, this Finnegan stuff has been going on, and this is probably the number one problem for the Rams right now, right?
Whoa! I mean,
what are you more concerned about? The Rams
can't run the ball.
They're a dumpster fire. Don't get me wrong, but are you more concerned about the offense or the defense with the Rams?
God, they're both bad. The offense, because if you don't have Sam Bradford doing what he's supposed to be doing, it doesn't matter how good Courtland Finnegan is or isn't.
Well, all right, here, what concerns me, all right, I'm going to lay out two concerns. First, the Rams have a really good defensive front four. Robert Quinn, that sack on Colin Kaepernick was a thing of beauty. I mean, he chased him down on a screen pass as Kaepernick was rolling away, and Quinn just waltzed him down and sacked him. The dude is a monster. Chris Long played a little bit better, but not great. Finnegan is a major issue. I mean, he got torched in week one by Larry Fitzgerald. He got torched in week two by Julio Jones. He got torched in week three by Dez Bryant. Those are all kind of excusable. I mean, you don't want to be a number one corner in the NFL and get torched by those guys week to week. But, I mean, those are really good football players. Today he got burnt by Anquan Boldin. That's a whole different level of suck.
Yeah, and listen, this oh my gosh, the stat's actually depressing. So Greg Rosenthal, our buddy at NFL.com, just tweeted this.
Rosenthal, by the way, was going off on Twitter about Sam Bradford. He was losing his mind.
He said 49ers had 11 drives of 12 yards or less, and they won 35-11.
Oh, my
God. So it
God.
Wasn't even like the 49ers offense was gangbusters, just that they were playing a really bad Rams team on both sides of the ball. Gore took advantage of the opportunities he had. Kaepernick minimized the mistakes, and then the Rams on both sides of the ball took care of the rest by playing like crap.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Rams were terrible. Yeah, Rosenthal, and he was going off. And look, and this is the team that had a chance to trade for RG3, or I mean, not to trade to RG3, to draft RG3, and to get rid of Sam Bradford and to reboot their franchise under a new coach. Now they gave up. They gave up that opportunity, and they took the draft picks, and they have 3 first-round picks to show for it. But here's the other rub. What are they doing with Tavon Austin? I mean, why did they even trade up and get him if they're not going to use him?
Well, he was targeted 8 times. I think what did he have? Did he have any catches? He had 2 catches for 6 yards 8 targets.
But they're not using him like if you throw the ball at Tavon Austin, I mean, if you throw the ball 8 times at Tavon Austin, there should be a 100% chance he's going to catch 6 of them because they're so close to the line of scrimmage, and you're using him on slants or screens or quick hitters to try and get him in space.
Maybe he was exhausted from running wind sprints from one side of the field to the other.
horizontal punt wind sprints?
But that's a fair question. You have to find ways to get him the ball, but he's just hasn't been what they had hoped he would be, through the first month. And that's fine. It's early. But listen, some of the concerns coming into the draft by other teams were that he was too small to be a top 10 pick. The Rams felt differently, and he hasn't worked out yet. So.
I put the onus on the Rams, not on Tavon.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he doesn't know the playbook. Maybe he's not smart enough.
He threw touchdown passes 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, but all right. So, but then on the offensive end, now here's the bigger concern. I mentioned Finnegan on the defensive end. The major concern on the offensive end is for years now. I guess 4 years. Three years now. We've said Sam Bradford hasn't had any consistency at offensive coordinator, and he doesn't have any weapons or any protection, so it's not fair to judge Sam Bradford. Well, Sam Bradford, they went out and signed Jake Long. And whatever you think about Jake Long, he was the best tackle available in the market. They signed Jake Long. They kept Givens. They kept Quick, who are reasonably high picks that they invested in. They went out and signed Jared Cook. Jared Cook may suck at blocking. He's really bad at blocking. But, yeah. But he can catch the ball. And we saw that in week 1, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. Should have been 3 for not Honey Badger. Then they went up and traded and get Tavon Austin. Sam Bradford has the weapons. He has the consistency at offensive coordinator, whether or not that's a good thing with Brian Schottenheimer. And he has the protection. So what's the excuse for Sam Bradford?
He doesn't have any. He looked like crap, man. He didn't look good at all.
He was high. He was high. He was low. He was left. He was right.
I don't know whose fault it was on what should have been that Austin Pettis touchdown in the first quarter. But that could have changed the game right there. It was a simple – all he had to do was throw the ball, put a little air into the ball, and that's a touchdown. Now, I don't know if Pettis ran the wrong route. I don't know if Bradford was hurt in the pocket. But those are plays that you don't get very often, and you have to make them. And he wasn't hit. It wasn't like he got rid of the ball as soon as he was crushed in the pocket. So I don't know what happened. And those things happen every week with Sam Bradford, and there's always an excuse. And, look, they're 1-3 now. And I'm now sort of wondering how they won that one game.
Yeah, you definitely wonder that. It's because they looked
at who they even beat.
They beat Arizona.
Oh God, I picked them to beat Arizona too.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's. I don't know. It's confusing. Sorry. It's. I'm perplexed by it. Is basically what I'm getting at. I think I picked them to win that game too. They did a good job getting after Carson Palmer. Remember, they were probably going to lose that game. Were it not for Robert Quinn strip sacking Palmer, I think twice, forced 2 fumbles. So the defensive line has done a good job of getting after people, but you can't just win a game just with the defensive line.
Nope, you cannot. So let me ask you this. Are the 49ers a playoff team now?
Yeah. I'll put them back in the playoffs. The NFC is suddenly a little bit weaker. I don't know why. We always talk about these week-to-week overreactions.
Mm-hmm. This is one of them.
But last week's was the overreaction.
They're done.
Yeah, we're like, the 49ers are finished. I still think the 49ers have problems. But
yeah,
they showed on Thursday night that they can be physical with other teams and that they can handle running the ball, winning games. And this is what they need to do. They need to revert back to what they did in 2011, 2012 and be this physical run team, attack like that. And just be patient, get Michael Crabtree back, get Vernon Davis healthy, get some wins the physical way that they learned to do in 2011, 2012, and then fall into the playoffs.
Yeah, they need to stick that game plan even if they get down early in games. You can't just abandon the game plan and start winging the ball over the yard because it doesn't work. So, the running game only works up to a point, but if you're down 10 points, you don't have to abandon the running game immediately and hope Colin Kaepernick magically figures out how to be passing quarterback. I'm looking here at the schedule. What was I going to say? So yeah, San Francisco's 2-2, and I'm looking, and let's see, 2-1 are the Lions, and that's it in terms. So they're already. If the playoffs ended today, if we had that conversation, they would be in with the Lions.
Yeah.
So they're right back in the mix. Way to go, San Francisco! You're back. Oh, by the way, I know what I was going to say. What are your thoughts before we move on to the rest of the games? What are your thoughts on that end of first half Phil Dawson free kick from 71 yards away?
All right, so when that happened, did you know that they could do that?
Yeah, only because Brad Nessler, who was doing the play-by-play, mentioned it as Kyle Williams was calling for the fair catch.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, I had forgotten about it, and I'd seen it before, but who remembers that play? Because it happens once every 6 years.
Right. I had totally forgotten about it. And so, like, we were doing the halftime show at the offices in Fort Lauderdale, and so I was like, what the hell is going on? And I'm looking over trying to figure it out. You know, I got Brodsky yelling in my ear. it's a circus. And Pete Prisco sitting next to me, he just calmly, he's like, here's what's going on.
He knew?
Yeah, he knew exactly what was going on. He's like, I don't understand. And somebody's like, I don't understand why more people don't do this.
Well, 71 yards away, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to lose. It's not going to get blocked. But
they can return it now. Now, that would have been interesting if Tavon, because I think Tavon took it. But just
no, Austin Pettis was back there.
Way to use Tavon, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Tavon was, I don't know what he was
Tavon
doing.
Tavon was getting some Gatorade in horizontal fashion on the side.
That's right. He was doing horizontal wind sprints on the sideline.
He's doing lateral dances. All right. So that's, the 49ers are back and the Rams. Look, by the way, the Rams, this whole trade for this RG3 thing might actually work out for them, though, because the Redskins stink. Right now, if the season ended, the Rams would have like two top five picks.
There you go. And then the key of Johnny Manziel. Problem solved.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. all right. Let's move on to other petulant quarterbacks. We have the Bears and the Lions. They're petulant, right?
Yes.
The Bears are undefeated. The Lions are 2-1. And the Lions have looked very good with Reggie Bush there. Not so good without Reggie Bush. But they've been adequate. They took care of business against the Redskins, beating them for the first time ever in D.C. Not a lot of people jumping on the Bears bandwagon here.
No, I talked about in the last podcast that of all games, the Bears excite me the least. I think Mark Trestman and Jay Cutler have worked wonders together. A question I had coming out of that Steelers game is that if Trestman can change Jay Cutler into being a three-stepping the ball out quarterback and be successful at it, why can't people accept the fact that Haley could probably do the Big Ben? No one wanted to hear that. Never mind the fact that they started 6-3 last year, playing pretty much like Big Ben was playing pretty much like Cutler plays now. Nevertheless, I'm not sure that Jay Cutler can sustain this over the course of a season. Saying that, and the fact that they're playing in Detroit, the Lions defense is playing better. I think Reggie Bush is going to play. Stafford's playing better this year. All reasons, even though Nate Burleson broke his arm trying to catch a pizza, all reasons to like the Lions.
Would you give up the use of a bodily function or like an arm for a few months for a pizza?
He's not making a veteran minimum, so he's making a million.
I mean, he's had a big contract with Detroit. He's making money.
Yeah, you let the pizza fall off the Corolla and you go back
and
get
another pizza. I don't.
That's right.
It's like, dude, it's your arm. Your life. I mean, it could have been his life. As I'm staring at these picks, I'm staring at this picks page with all these expert faces up here. I see a couple faces that might take the pizza.
By the way, let me say this. Let me stop. I saw you retweet this. One of your paid informants, someone tweeted at you that they decided to base their picks last week.
Did you see that?
Off the most handsome person and clearly this woman is either a relative of yours, blind, both payment in some form for her to have to tweet these things. Because here's the thing, Breach is the youngest guy on that page. If you go to cbsports.com/NFL/features,
good Lord.
Just
Google NFL expert picks. That's what I do.
Yeah, CBS Sports. Breach is the youngest, and he's probably I can say as a married man probably the handsomest.
What?
But this photo makes him look like a serial killer slash date rapist.
Yeah, it does. Breach in this photo looks like he just found out about Jersey Shore for the first time last week. And he is in, man. He is in, and he is GTL? Yeah, Jim Tan Laundry.
I don't know what that means. But I do love the fact that he's actually somehow short in his headshot, too.
That's right. I mean, clearly Breach took that himself.
I'm just guessing this poor woman looked at your picture and then saw Josh to your right and JLC to your left.
That's
and
right, buddy.
To his left. She's like, all right, I'll take the tall.
You got to know how to position yourself in there.
No, that's a fantastic point. But anyway, so carry on.
that tweet made my day. I didn't even tell my wife about it.
She sent it.
Oh, I'm sure she did. She has many fake Twitter accounts. I also like the Lions, and the reason why is Reggie Bush. As I've said, and I swear, I don't think I can say it enough, but nobody will credit me for it. That's fine. No, it's not like my idea. I just want somebody to be like, Brinson said that. When Reggie Bush plays, the Lions offense is kind of unstoppable. Because Calvin Johnson spreads the defense, and then Reggie Bush can pick up free yards and do things in space, and it's the perfect complement for that offense. I don't know why they don't have – like, I mean, there aren't seven of him. But it's like they only tried once. They got Javid Best. He got hurt, and then they got Reggie Bush. I mean, they should be piling up these backs.
Yeah, and not only that, the defense is a lot better too. And Dominican Sue, when he's not trying to murder people, mm-hmm. is actually having a fantastic year. We just talked about Robert Quinn in the last podcast, but Sue is right up there with him in terms of dominating in the backfield.
Yeah, Nick Fairley.
Nick Fairley as well. So those are – we'll see. Listen, here's the thing about the Bears. The Bears played great in the first quarter and in the fourth quarter offensively, the middle of the game. They didn't do much. And if they can get after – if the Lions can get after Cutler and disrupt him and find a way to keep him from getting the ball to Brandon Marshall – I think I like their chances.
And, you know, if you look at the Bears' wins, I mean, the Bears are 3-0, but they needed a last-second win against Cincinnati, last-second win against Minnesota, and they throttled the Steelers, but everybody knows the Steelers are the worst team in the NFL, so they got that going.
Yeah, and you know what? Ben Roethlisberger gave them 14 points, like literally. A handoff to Julius Peppers and a touchdown pass to Major Wright.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, look, they're going against Felix Jones. Anybody can stop him. So I like the Lions.
Let me tell you this. The Steelers have fewer than 100 yards rushing on the year, but Felix Jones is averaging 4.2 yards per carry.
That's
pretty awesome, all things considered.
Pretty sad that you are excited about that.
Listen, you find me another guy who can rush 1 v. 11 and get 4.2 yards per carry, then I'll be impressed.
I'm just glad that this is your version of the Jimmy Clausen season.
It really is.
Recording a podcast with you. When I had to like sit there and talk about Jimmy Clausen for a year, it was literally the lowest moment of my life.
And just like you, I'm actually supporting this team, right. You know, unconditionally. All right, let's go. What do we got? Ravens,
Baltimore at Buffalo. Oh my God, I took the Bills. What the hell am I thinking?
+3.5 the Bills. It's in Buffalo.
It's
yeah, what are you thinking, by the way?
You know, I don't know. Look, I don't.
At least you're honest.
Here's what I'm thinking: is the Bills, Doug Marrone and Nathaniel Hackett, who is a really cool, old school name, have done a good enough job. Nate Hackett,
I believe Nathaniel Hackett used to work with Sherlock Holmes.
That's right. He actually, yeah. Anyway,
mutton chops and a top hat.
Ooh, he would look good, like, prowling the sideline with, like, a pipe, like one of those curled pipes. Like,
and he swings canes at players' legs who don't perform.
And he spins his cane around every time E.J. Manuel throws a touchdown. Anyway.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, boy, we have derailed. The Ravens have a very good defense. The Bills, I think, will be able to bottle up the Ravens. This is one of those games where it's like – classic crappy Joe Flacco, and then they squeak out a win, but they don't cover the 3 points, or they don't
right you know, like 10-9 or something.
Yeah, I mean seriously, I can see that. Oh, I took the Bills against the Jets. That was dumb. I don't buy the Bills. I feel like it's at Buffalo though. Maybe some miracle stuff here. I don't know. The Ravens are a better team.
You can't even sell yourself on this. Yeah, last week I think I took the Jets. I was worried though. The Bills came back, but you know I just don't like betting against the Ravens, even though I despise that team. They just find ways to win, and that's part of the reason they're good. The Steelers find ways to lose. The Ravens find ways to win when they're not playing well. I wouldn't say the defense is playing great now. They're playing better. They were awful in Week One, but that's understandable. They're facing better the last 2 weeks, but again they're facing the Browns, and then who they beat last week? Who they beat in Week Two? Oh no, the Browns and the Texans. So. Yeah.
Good. Impressive to bottle up the Texans.
We don't know. Yeah, well, we don't know. We'll see this week. The Texans haven't played well yet. Maybe. Well, they're not going to play this well. We'll get that in 2 games. But, I don't have any reason to think that the Bills are going to do anything. I mean, 3.5 points isn't a lot of points. The Bills have shown that they can lose by
9-6 could totally be the final score of this game.
It could be. Hopefully it'll be 9-5 and I'll cover.
I would actually – I mean, if I'm – you know, if you're – while we're dispensing advice, if I was uncorking on an over-under – I mean, I would take the under here, but
Yeah, well, I didn't know what it is. If it's
44.
Oh, okay, definitely. I was going to say 13.
Yeah. Our buddy Paul Basir at the Prediction Machine likes the over, but not by a lot. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know about that. All right,
that's surprising. Yeah.
Giants at Chiefs. The Giants are the second worst team in the league after the Jaguars and just ahead of the Steelers.
Yes, that's right. The Giants are terrible. There's only one person taking that team. It is Pete Prisco, noted Tom Coughlin fight. Pete used to cover Tom Coughlin at Jacksonville and loves them and thinks that they will get off the schneid.
No, he just has them covering. He has them losing, but covering. Okay. 4.5.
They could get off the schneid, but I look at what happened with their offense against the Panthers, right?
By the way, let me ask you this, because I know the answer to this. That's why I'm going to call you out right now. Did you have any coach killers this week?
No.
Prominently displayed was Greg Hardy absolutely destroying Will Beatty in any number of ways. I can't believe you didn't look at that.
I actually started to read it, and then I had to shut down my browser for this podcast.
And then you fell asleep.
I was in an airplane. Yeah. I was in an airplane all day. I should have read it.
No, three different slides of him abusing William Beatty, the left tackle for the Giants, in addition to Delray Scott, who they tried to put over there and just kept neither one of those guys could block Greg Hardy. The Panthers rushed four people all day and absolutely – they had six sacks 16 minutes into the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a bloodbath. And Eli Manning was not – he was – you're a Mallrats guy, right?
Yeah.
Eli Manning was in the back of a Volkswagen.
Yeah, very uncomfortable place.
Very uncomfortable place.
Greg Hardy worked upstairs that wanted to be
– the fashionable male.
Fashionable male. Shannon Hamilton.
Good one. And so you look –
the kid is back on the escalator.
Get that kid off the goddamn escalator. I think I can say GD. So anyway, the Chiefs also have a good pass rush. Justin Houston, Tom Bahali, Don Terry Poe. They might have a better pass rush than the Panthers. I would anticipate that they get after Eli Manning. The other thing you look at is Andy Reid has traditionally been very good against the NFC East, and he knows these coaches, and he's 2-0 already this year against the NFC East. They played well against the Cowboys, 17-6 victory in Arrowhead. I don't want to say they're not going to beat them 38-0, but I mean,
no. And the reason is that offense, the Chiefs' offense, still isn't clicking yet. But unlike last year, a couple things: Alex Smith is a much bigger upgrade. He's a rich man's Matt Castle.
Yeah. Oh, hey, let me ask you this though, and it's not — this is not a totally full blown comparison. But what would the Seahawks hosted the Jaguars, and I'm not saying the Giants are the Jaguars because they got Eli Manning, but they're 0-3. They have a similar point differential. They're playing like crap, and the Chiefs are 3-0. They have a similar setup to the Seahawks, right?
Similar in what and how?
They're defense based. They have a quarterback who is making good decisions
and a good running game.
And that was 19.5 points. I think that this is a 4.5 point game based on name value alone.
Oh, you're exactly right. That's a great point. And I think this goes back to Vegas not so much caring about what really happens, but trying to get the most people.
They want some people to bet on the Giants.
Yeah.
Although, no, I take that back. But, I mean, God, now I'm confusing myself. Because if you wanted people to bet on the Giants, you would make it like 6.5. I don't know. I think Kansas City could roll in this game.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, we're also talking historically how both these organizations have been, and the Jaguars have been historically awful since what's-his-name left, Tom Coughlin left. So I think 4.5 is actually the Giant 10 in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's in Kansas City.
That's what I'm saying. Even if the Giant, if this game were a year ago, the Giants would be giving away 7.5 points, maybe.
Yeah.
6.5.
That's so, I mean, it's crazy to think the Chiefs are favored by 4 points over the Giants. And
yeah, it's a 10-point swing in a year.
Yeah, that's true.
And so Alex Smith is an upgrader of Matt Castle. He's just as mobile. His arm might be not as strong, but he gets the ball and he makes good decisions. And
huge upgrade.
Yeah, the defense, same guys, new defensive coordinator Bob Sutton, who came over from Rex Ryan's Jets, and he's got these guys playing. And the Giants are playing like steaming piles. So
yeah,
I think it makes sense. All right, what do we
got? I can't take the Giants. I bailed on the Panthers late and took the Giants, and now I'm mad at myself. Yeah. So I take the Chiefs. Yeah. Seattle, Houston. Seattle 3-0. The Texans struggling a little bit to get going offensively. Not a great matchup. This is one I rethink a little bit against the spread, because Houston is +3.5. Everybody's obviously on the Seattle bandwagon, and you've got you know, I mean, a Texans team, certainly Seattle doesn't dominate away from home, so maybe they end up winning by three or something like that.
I suppose that the Seattle could lose this game, but just I've been so unimpressed with the Texans that I don't know. They had to take the Titans to overtime in Houston to beat that team. And I know the Titans are 2-1, but they're not a very good 2-1 team in terms of they shouldn't be able to outclass the Texans in Houston. So I'm going to ride the Seattle Seahawks until they tell me otherwise, and I'm not going to assume that this will be the week that the Houston puts it all together because they haven't done it yet.
Could Seattle go undefeated?
No.
No?
They got to play. Wow, I was going to say they got to play at San Francisco, but hell, the Colts did that with no problem.
Yeah. All right, their road games remaining are at Houston. They can win there. At Indy next week, they can win there.
Well, that'd be a good game.
Yeah. At Arizona. At St. Louis. At Atlanta. At San Francisco. At Giants.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm just saying they could win all those games.
Russell Wilson is going to – he hasn't played well yet.
He hadn't played poorly, but he hadn't played
– He didn't play well in Carolina week one. That was week one. Fine, I'll give you that. But –
He had no picks, he had no turnovers, and he had 300 passing yards.
Yeah, hey, RG3 does that every week.
He's in garbage. I mean, RG3's the turnovers part. Yeah.
That's my point. I just think that I'm not sure. Russell Wilson hasn't played up to expectations yet.
All right, Russell Wilson was 25 of 33 for 320 yards and a touchdown in week one. I'm not sure.
You saw the game. Did he play well?
Yeah, I mean, he played fine. They were focusing on running the ball.
Okay.
I don't think Russell Wilson's had to play. I don't think he's. I think they haven't asked a whole lot of him. And the difference between last year and this year is that last year, if he got in one of those positions, you didn't feel like he might be able to pull it off. Now he's so much more comfortable in the first 3 weeks. We'll see if they open up the playbook. He's fine.
Okay. All right, what else we got?
Speaking of those Colts, nobody is taking the Jaguars at home plus 9.5. I have said, and I said this last week in my picks column, and I might have said it here, I'm done, Jacksonville. I'm sorry. I don't care if the line is 42.5 points. I'm taking whoever is favored.
I'm right there with you. I got screwed last week, 19.5 points.
But it took you a week. I took the Jaguars to win in week one and cover in weeks one and two. And it's killing me. So I'm done, Jacksonville. Sorry, yeah. Baby.
I don't care. That's right. I don't care if they cover from here on out.
I feel like a 40-year-old divorcee driving around in a Camaro in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Hair, like lack of hair blowing in the wind. I'm free. Jacksonville's not on my shoulders anymore. It's great.
That's right. You're going straight to the strip club with Jacoby Jones.
That's right. Oh, sweet pea girl, I'm coming for you. Thank God my wife doesn't listen to this podcast. Is there anything to say about this other than Jacksonville beat Indianapolis last year once.
What's the word on the street with Blaine Gabbert? I saw the headline, but didn't read the rest of it. I just quit reading after I saw Blaine Gabbert instinctive. Is he playing or not?
I think so. Yes, they're going back to Blaine.
Okay, yeah. Like it matters, but right, he'll be playing, and he's not. I don't think it matters. I think Trent Richardson will have a week more into that playbook, so he'll be running all over these guys. There's no compelling reason that the Jaguars are going to cover 9.5 points.
And I'll tell you what, I think that this game for the Colts has – let's say they're up 6 points – or let's say they're up 10 points, garbage time. I could see them feeding Trent Richardson the ball to justify trading for Trent Richardson early. I'm serious. And let's get Trent 100 yards and two touchdowns so everybody calms the F down and says, great trade. And then he goes off in a big game.
That works for me.
And so, therefore, I have the Colts covering, as we all do, which means the Jaguars will probably lose by 7. I think everybody got so burnt by the Jaguars. I mean, they got absolutely walloped. And if the Colts can go on the road and beat the 49ers 27-7, they need to be able to go on the road and beat the Jaguars 27-7.
Yeah, if for no other reason than to help us win our picks.
That's right. Let's take a joy. I was going to do a British joke or a Mrs. Doubtfire joke. That carpet, that just absolutely exploded before I even got off the landing deck there. Anyway, it's better than a Steelers joke, right?
Yeah, there's time. What do you got?
Steelers good God. Vikings minus 1.5 in London. Oh, my God. What an embarrassment. You
know, that's like saying the game's going to be played on the moon and the Vikings are still favored. There are going to be many more Steelers fans at Wembley Stadium than Vikings fans because Steelers fans are everywhere. They're like a rash.
Are they going to start chanting, "We want the Jaguars"? Jaguars, Jaguars, Jaguars.
That would be awesome. But yeah, this is the low point of a season that's only going to get lowered. Getting being the underdogs against the Vikings team in another country.
This is a craptastic Vikings team, by the way. I mean, they're bad.
I watched some of the All-22 of the Vikings and the Browns game today. I just want to see how bad
this is. Torture porn.
I know. I was punishing myself for being a Steelers fan, but I wanted to see how bad Christian Ponder really was. And here's how their deep passing game works. It all starts with play action passes to Adrian Peterson, of course, because you want to at least give Ponder a chance. Greg Simmons. You know who Greg Simmons is. Greg Jennings and I was thinking Jerome Simpson, I guess. And then Cordero Patterson run go routes on the outside. And they're usually facing single coverage because, you know, the AP threat.
Sure.
Christian Ponder, play action passes, turns around and throws the ball as far as he can down the field, usually incomplete.
And it's usually short, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's the extent of the passing game. He can't complete passes that are under 10 yards because he's so inaccurate. He has no pocket presence, and teams are going to key off Adrian Peterson, who I think you talk about this all the time. If you discount that 79-yard run to start the season, you know, he's averaging like 2 yards carry or something, probably more than that by now. But the point is that he's not the player he was last year, which no one expected, I don't think. And Ponder is awful. My fear is that he's going to get hot against the Steelers, throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, and it'll be another blowout loss for Pittsburgh.
How do you feel about 7 of 8 experts on CBSSports.com, except for your boy, Katsowitz, riding the Steelers?
Yeah, they rode the Steelers in week 1, lost. Rode the Steelers, no, not last week. But they're, actually, it might have been split last week, 50-50, because everyone said, oh, they have to win this game. They didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think any – who did they lose to in week 2? The Bengals. A lot of people like the Bengals there, which made sense. Even I picked the Bengals. The
Steelers should have covered that game, though.
Yeah, they have a knack for giving up a lot of points in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, I don't know if they're going to win this game at this point.
I can't believe mercy you picked them. When you picked the Steelers, were you thinking everyone will be taking the Vikings, I'll sneak a Steelers win in here?
That's the most amazing thing. These picks, I'm trying to position myself to make a run. And, once the picks are updated, everyone's got the same picks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like a lot – like Indy, I knew everyone would be on Indy.
But like the Cardinals in Tampa Bay, and this was before Freeman got benched.
Yeah, I thought a lot of people would be on Tampa Bay.
And a lot of people got the Raiders, which I said no one's going to take the Raiders against the Redskins.
Yeah, I switched back to the Redskins when I saw everybody had the Raiders. But anyway, Steelers, I like the Steelers. I think they've.
Well, let me tell you, Le'Veon Bell's coming back. Cortez Allen will be back. I don't know if that fixes anything, but at least they'll be there. This is how bad the Steelers are. They have their two tackles, second-round picks, Mike Adams and Marcus Gilbert.
Yeah.
They are rotating those guys with seventh-round pick Kelvin Beachum. That's how bad they're playing. Oof. Kelvin Beachum plays right tackle one series, then goes to left tackle the next
series. He actually works at Burger King.
That's right. They're going to pick him up on the way to the airport.
Yeah. I don't know. This is how bad the Steelers are. We're talking about – And this sucks for London. It sucks for Roger Goodell too, because we're going to send Adrian Peterson, and we're going to send the Steelers, our favorite franchise, over to the across the pond. And hello. Anyway, there's my
what's the second? Six. You know the second game, the second London game this year. I can never remember seeing
like Jaguars before. Rams or something.
Oh boy,
it involves the Jaguars.
I think you're right because that's their de facto home. Okay, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati at Cleveland. My Browns, baby. My Browns.
Yeah, what do you Brian Hoyer starting again.
Yeah, I'm riding that Hoyer train. Wow, Pete Prisco is taking the Browns +5.5? What the hell is going on here?
Everyone has the Bengals winning straight up.
Yeah, I mean, look, Cincinnati's clearly the better team, right?
Cincinnati plays
the better team. Get out of here.
They play, yeah, but they seem to, you know, they haven't had a solid game yet. They found ways to win, which is important, obviously, but they got smoked by the Packers, if not for Aaron Rodgers playing poorly towards the end of that game. They could have lost to that Steelers team.
Mm-hmm.
They did lose.
I mean, they were 14-0 on the Green Bay, and they couldn't close out. Green Bay scored 30 straight points. They came back and scored 20. you're right. I mean, they definitely could have lost to Pittsburgh, and Chicago snuck one out on them. So I think all of that leads me to think that this game, and I don't give a crap whether Cleveland wins or Cincinnati wins, but all of it leads me to think that Cleveland will keep it close.
Yeah, we'll see. I actually like Cleveland to cover last week. I thought Minnesota would win, but they're playing in the Metrodome, for Christ's sake. But Cleveland did cover because they did win.
just so we're aware, by the way. So let's say that some weird stuff happens and the Bills flip the Ravens, right? And the Ravens go
have a three-way tie. You got it.
Well, technically, actually, I guess the Ravens would have the lead because they beat the Browns, who beat the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't know the tiebreakers are, especially in Week 4. But
all I'm saying is don't count out the Browns yet, buddy.
Yeah, here's what we will know definitively after this week. The Steelers will be in last place.
That's right. You know it would be awesome, by the way? And it was not going to happen. But if the Browns
if they get Jadeveon Clowney?
Who, the Browns?
Steelers.
The Steelers. I was thinking if the Browns awesome. Made the playoffs and the Colts didn't. It's not going to happen. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, it would be – that would be weird, right?
Well, you know what that would mean? That would mean that maybe the things are finally turning around for the Browns, because now you expect that they have the Colts' first-round pick, that the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl
and try to be the 32nd. Yeah, exactly. All right, so Arizona at Tampa Bay. Did we talk about the Bucs at all this week?
Once. Starting your boy Glennon. Did that change your – you made these picks before Glennon was named starter. Does that change your mind at all?
No, I had the Cardinals anyway. Look, Vincent Jackson, Pat P can handle him.
Wait a second. Only three of us have the Cardinals winning, not you. You have the Bucs winning this game, straight up.
Right. I knew that. You know what happens is on these games, I mean, this is just like a policy of mine, honestly, is that if it's a, like, I'm going to take the home team, but if the home team's getting 3.5 and it's two crappy teams, I'm taking the Cardinals to cover.
Hedging.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close game. Yeah, so it's a bit of a hedge.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, another interesting storyline that's not really interesting, Carson Palmer gets to play against the Buccaneers team that he said tried to trade for him a bunch over the offseason.
That's right. And I don't think this is going to be a – what's the over-under on this? I got, like, the under here. Because you're talking about – well, I mean, look.
Just a lot of defensive points.
40? Well, you're talking Larry Fitzgerald against Darrell Revis. Vincent Jackson against Patrick Peterson. Might not be a lot of throwing points. This could end up being easily the crappiest game of the week. I mean from like a there's some crappy games. And we're about to talk about two of them right now.
Yeah.
And we already talked about Indy Jacksonville. I just mean
you like, mean about in terms of points?
Just in terms of like ugly and mistakes. Glennon doing rookie mistakes, Carson Palmer getting sacked by the Bucs. Could be ugly. I don't see a blowout either way, but I'm not taking my boy Mike Glennon on 4 days' notice, starting against a team with Darnell Dockett and Calais Campbell and Patrick Peterson and the Honey Badger. I like Glennon. I think Shiano will do everything he can to set him up for success. But if Shiano really knew what he was doing and he really knew he was going to go to Mike Glennon eventually, why didn't he go to him week one?
Maybe Dominic wouldn't let him.
Yeah, maybe not. But Glennon, I'll take the over on completed passes if it's 50%.
Okay, I'll take the under on that.
You'll take the under?
He's going to be throwing bombs all day.
Yeah, that's true. If they run that offense, God, but the drama would be awesome if Glennon like pisses out a win. You know, like
only throw screen passes.
That's Doug Martin. Doug Martin has 400 receiving yards. moving along to a really, really crappy game. I mean, honestly, this game is purity poo. Remember this last year, in 2012, the Jets and Titans faced off on Monday Night Football, which is, for whatever reason, that game was on Monday Night Football. It was easily the worst game of the year. This the culmination of Mark Sanchez before the butt fumble. Titans, -4.5, hosting the Jets. Two very different teams now, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't. Okay, I have the Titans winning and covering. Okay, is that right? Yeah, yeah. Titans winning and covering.
You and I, you and I have the Titans winning and covering. You, me, and Prisco.
-4.5.
I think the Jets love. I like being on the wrong side of this in terms of, the teams who are like I like being on the Titans side of this, I think.
Yeah, the Titans surprising low, but then again, so have the Jets. And listen, they're both 2-1.
Yeah.
So if the Jets win this game, they're going to be, you know, right in the mix. Who the Patriots play this week?
Patriots play the Falcons.
Oh, the Falcons. Ooh. Are the Dolphins off? The Dolphins must be off.
No, Dolphins are Monday Night Football against the Saints.
Oh my God. There's a situation where
we
have a three-way tie for first.
Dolphins are probably losing. I think the Patriots are winning, but they're going to Atlanta, so they could lose.
Yeah, they could lose. Like, oh, my God. This
Jets
is insane.
Jets could be tied for first. You know, have I told you about the dude that tweets me every Monday?
What did he say?
He's a Jets fan, and he has favorited this tweet that me and this tweet conversation that Aaron Nagler and I had.
Oh, is this the Colin Kaepernick of the Jets?
Yeah, basically. I mean, like, Nagler was like, the Jets are going to be 3-13 this year. And I said, in response, jokingly, that seems high. Right. So this guy, every Monday when the Jets win, is like, 3-13, LOL. I mean, like, I'm rooting against the Jets just for this guy.
Well, listen, if they win, you're going to be in trouble come Monday because...
They'll be 3-1, yeah.
Here's the thing, too. We had this conversation late last year where they could have backdoored the way into the playoffs if they just won a couple games.
Yep.
This team is better than last year's team. Geno Smith is playing better than Mark Sanchez. Maybe not a lot better, but he is better.
And I saw Chris Brown of at Smart Football on Twitter, Rachel Grant.
Oh, not Rihanna's boyfriend.
No, he punched, yeah. Chris Brown was pointing out that this Jets team is kind of similar to the 2009 and 2010 teams, more so than 2011, 2012. Now, the big difference is this team can't run like the 09, 10 teams. We had, like,
right.
Thomas Jones and LT. So.
Yeah, I still like the Titans. The Titans have actually played surprisingly well. Their defense is pretty good. Jake Locker has, you know, he made a big play to win the game last week against the Chargers. That backdoor cover, unbelievable.
I'll tell you what makes me a little nervous. This is the this is our boy Paul Basir's pick of the week. I'm not sure, I probably shouldn't be giving that away, but I have an insider subscription thanks to us being boys. It's his pick of the week.
Great.
Underdog Jets upset. I still like the Titans. I'm steering clear of that one.
All right, what's next?
It's about this Arizona-Tampa Bay game. Looks like a scorcher because we have Washington at Oakland. Terrell Pryor is – I mean, this is – how did this game – how is this game – how are the Raiders – right, first of all, how are the Raiders – how do the Raiders have a better record? And how are the Raiders not favored?
Again, I think it's Vegas preying on fans, on the fervent fandom of Redskins supporters, because the Redskins are an awful – the Redskins are worse than the Raiders, without question in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, their secondary is now – Terrell Pryor – suffered a concussion on Monday night. Tuesday, he tweets out, I don't really remember what happened, LOL.
That was hilarious.
It's just classic brain head trauma jokes. So the concern, I think, if you're the Raiders, is that Matt Flynn has to play.
Oh, that's a good point. When are we going to find that out? Because that's sort of a big deal.
All right, so you figure Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he's got to clear by Friday, I think. So you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. Today's Wednesday. Matt Flynn was practicing with the first team on Wednesday. Today's not Wednesday. Today is Thursday night. I think Flynn's going to end up playing. So that's why.
Does that change your mind at all? I don't think it changed your mind.
I went with the Redskins.
That was you? Oh, that was you. Okay.
Yeah. I went with the Redskins.
I'll think about it, but usually I don't like to change. I'm the decider, so I don't make a decision.
It's going to be close. It's not a. I don't know. It's a hard one to figure out. It's a weird game.
Yeah. All right. Any better production of RG3? This will be week four back. He's played sort of better last week. He still made some mistakes that kind of
– that's what I'm kind of expecting is week four we start to get a little hint of RG3 being RG3-ish. And he runs a little bit. He throws some deep bombs. The Raiders don't have a ton of weapons in that defensive secondary. They get Pierre Garçon deep. They look okay. Redskins win. People start to wonder if the Redskins can make a run.
Well, here's the measuring stick. Has Mike Shanahan given up on the season yet?
I know. We mention this like once a week, and we should keep mentioning it again until eventually somebody will credit us with realizing this. I mention this on radio spots all the time, too. I'm like, look, 3-6, they gave up on the season.
You know what? Did you mention on the Barn Dukes? Because I mention every time I go on the show.
Probably. I mean, yeah.
They sound like they'd heard it before.
I actually go on there and say, you know, I mention this to Ryan Wilson every time, and he steals it from me. But no,
that's fine.
I mean,
just get the word out.
I just think that all right. So the Redskins are 0-3. What if they go 3-3 over the next 6 weeks?
Well, then you know what's coming next.
Give up on the season and 7 wins and playoffs, baby.
There you go.
Dallas at San Diego. San Diego is home dogs. I wish they were 3.5 instead of 2.5. What can you do? I'm taking the Chargers to win and to cover.
Yeah, you are. I'm taking the Cowboys because, I've been betting against the Cowboys a lot because to start the season, I had them finishing last in the division.
How's that working out for you?
Not very well. So this, I'm sure things will turn around now that I'm going to start taking and riding that train. But, yeah. The Chargers sort of pulled the Chargers the last week against the Titans. They should have won that game. It wasn't Philip Rivers' fault, but they still lost. And I think that when you talk about hapless quarterbacks, Phil Rivers is number one, Tony Romo is number two.
What? So you're talking about bad luck guys with
– Yeah, the people love to hate, even though they're not that bad.
That's right.
So I think Romo has the edge in that
category. Do you know what Philip Rivers' completion percentage is this year?
I bet it's close to 70.
Over, under 65.
Over.
70% even.
That's what I just said, 70.
You said it's pretty close to 70. I said over, under 65. I wanted to see if you'd flinch.
Oh, no, I didn't flinch.
70% even? That's insane, though, through three games. Eddie Royal is his best weapon.
That is amazing. That is an amazing story. Because, listen, we talked about this all August. No offensive line. They had to cut Max Starks. That's how bad their offensive line was. And, Demetrius Bell was garbage last year in Philly. And or was it King Dunlap? Whoever the left guard.
It was Dunlap. He was terrible.
Yeah, he was awful, too. And no receivers. Everyone got hurt. So Eddie Royal, who was pretty awful last year, he kind of flamed out in Denver, is their go-to guy. And props to Phil Rivers. He's another guy that you want to hate, but I don't, solely based on the fact that he played in that playoff game against the Patriots with no knee.
Good luck finding a bigger Philip Rivers fan than me.
Yeah, no
seriously.
Kidding.
Aside from Chargers fans. Good luck with that. I bailed. I was gone, man, because there wasn't any way he was bouncing back. And I kudos to Mike McCoy for being able to do this with no offensive line. And it says a lot about what Norv Turner was doing.
Ken was not too.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they win this game necessarily. But I bet they lose it, and they either win the game or lose it in heartbreaking fashion. Dallas is due for a correction. Things are going too well for Dallas.
Also worth noting, Manti Te'o is going to be back.
Oh, but a good move for him this year, going to San Diego.
I thought you were going to say going invisible for the first 3 weeks.
But, I wasn't going to make a girlfriend joke. I really do think that the Chargers have done a great job of making him irrelevant, even though, it's – hadn't helped
well,
him much
by
on the
saying
field.
He's not talking to the media.
If he was in New York City, we'd be hounded with Manti Te'o, info nonstop.
Yeah, that's right. Oh.
And instead, this story died out.
All right, who is this? Good Lord.
Katsowitz.
So the Broncos going to
– alone on that Eagles Island covering 10.5.
So 10.5, the Philly – the Eagles are at Denver. You and I talked about this game after week one and said this is going to be a true proving point for this Eagles team after they whooped up on the Redskins. Turns out this game won't mean much because they're going to lose. The only question is about how much. The reason I have them not covering 10.5 is because I got burned by the Jaguars.
Burned by the Denver Raiders, man.
I didn't. I took Denver. Denver was favored by 15.5, and they covered. It wasn't even that they didn't have to try very hard to cover against the Raiders on Monday night.
I'll tell you. You don't know why I like Denver. Yeah. You can tell me why you like Philly if you want.
I don't. No, I don't like Philly. I don't have them covering.
I like Denver here, and I think Denver is a pretty good Survivor pick, by the way, too. This is a tough week for Survivor. I think. The second best option might be the Colts. Colts might be the best option. Use the Colts. You can't use a Survivor team on the road, but I don't know. Anyway, I like Denver because I think that the Broncos will be able to mess with Michael Vick enough, right? And Peyton Manning, if they get up 14-0, it's not going to be slow. It's not going to be slow. They'll slow it down enough, but they'll want to try and score. But
Manning didn't come out of that Raiders game.
Not at all. Exactly. And he knows how quickly Chip Kelly and the Eagles can score. And he knows that if, you know, if he lets his foot off the gas and all of a sudden they get back in it and he's got to work, I think he'd much rather be a comfortable, you know, distance away, keeping them, you know, forcing them to gamble and you know, and giving them a shot. So.
No, that's a good point. Altitude, also the defense, the Raider.
That's right. Yeah, your altitude game. Too bad the Eagles suck.
Yeah, the Eagles' defense is awful. How long can Michael Vick and LeSean McCoy stay healthy? Yeah, 10.5, fine. You sold me. I got it. I mean,
you're already in on it. So
yeah, you resold me.
Yeah, I mean, Eagles could lose by 10 on a garbage time touchdown. I mean, yeah, who the hell knows? Last game, we'll save the Saints Dolphins for Monday morning. A lot of people on the Saints, though. I'll tell you that much. 6.5. That's a lot.
Not me.
That's right. Are you solo on the Dolphins?
Yeah. That's the only one.
I might be reconsidering that. New England at Atlanta. The Patriots are -1.5 on the road. I don't like – the Patriots are -1.5, right? That's weird. Is that right?
I think so.
That's right. I think that might be I think somebody might have dinnied that.
I think so. The Falcons are 1-2. The Patriots are 3-0.
Maybe so. All right, Keith, what do you think about this game? I'll look at the line because I think we might see it. Yeah, I think we might see the line, quote unquote, swing when somebody realizes what happened.
Really?
Maybe not.
Which way is the line going to swing? What do you think? Where's the money going to go?
The Falcons are -2.5 on Sportsbook. Didn't he mess that up?
Oh.
So go ahead and pretend like you took the Patriots anyway.
Yeah. So I'm fine with the Patriots. I don't know. Yeah, I've been talking about this all year. I'm not sold on the Falcons. We've talked about this, I think, on the last podcast. Guys, critical guys on defense are hurt. Tony Gonzalez isn't doing anything. Roddy White's hurt. Matt Ryan has one per throw, too. I know Harry Douglas is also out there, but he's not Julio Jones. Steven Jackson's out. And the Patriots are only going to get better. They played better last week with their rookies. Your boy Thompkins, who also goes by Tompkins, scored 2 touchdowns.
Thompkins.
He happens to be Antonio Brown's cousin.
Does he really?
They're cousins. Their defense is playing better. Gronk might come back. Who knows? Even if Amendola's going to be out a few more weeks, I think that Brady's getting more comfortable with these guys. And they're used to playing in hostile environments, so that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I like it a lot better with the Patriots getting big dogs.
Right? Not a big dog. A 1.5 isn't being a big dog.
I don't like being the guy. I don't like taking road chalk.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it makes me feel a lot better taking the Patriots +1.5 than taking the Patriots -1.5 on the road.
Fair enough.
So yeah, we got the Patriots there. A lot of people like it's interesting though that a lot of people like the Falcons. I feel like it might have said Falcons -1.5 in the email. We'll see. We shall see. If Gronk comes back, I guarantee you this is a. That's what's weird about it. Like, they're 4 out of 8 – is it 5 out of 8 people are taking the Falcons. Knowing Gronk might come back, the Falcons are busted up. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, Pete Prisco is always in the Falcons. He's driving that Falcons bandwagon.
God, he loves that Falcons bandwagon. And John Breach, his week 4 picks, Falcons will fly. The New England Patriots are undefeated, but that will change this week, according to John Breach. Related news, John Breach picked the Buccaneers to upset the Patriots last week.
That's what I was going to say. What did he pick? He had 2 games last week. He picked the Buccaneers and the Steelers.
Breach is just sitting in his little Vegas cave, like, just please, God, do you have to win, Patriots? Just betting on the NFC South to take down the Patriots.
The Buccaneers was the worst pick ever.
Yeah, it's terrible. 20, they got thrown.
23-3.
The only way that would have been more embarrassing is if he picked the Jaguars.
Yeah, well, I picked him to cover. That was my headline. Jaguars.
I meant Jaguars upset, but yeah.
Right.
That was fun. Okay, that's all we got. We'll be back. Good Lord. We'll be back on Sunday night and Monday morning to recap all the action, talk about all our correct picks, and to preview the Monday Night Football game. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes. For Ryan Wilson, I am Will Brinson. We will talk to you guys later.